Okay, the Gemara on Samach Bezim will probably end early in the Ramban. The Ramban on Samach Bezim and Aleph, I'm sorry, the Ramban. The Gemara on Samach Bezim and Aleph tells us, we left off with this yesterday a little bit, that Moshe Midaite Huda Abed, that's why there's no Raya from Moshe Rabbeinu to the Shir of Huvu. Moshe Midaite Huda Abed. Rashi says, Mishum Shechina, he was Porish Min Aisha. Says the Gemara, quoting from Brisa Desanya. So the Brisa appears also in Maseches Shabbos on Pei Zayin. It's in Avos Darvi Nasan. Moshe Midaito David Desanya Shlosha Dvarim Asa Moshe Midaito. Three things he did Midaito, meaning his own thought. It was his own idea. It was of his own volition and his initiative. V'eskima Daito L'das HaMakom. And it sounds like from here the Ribono Shel Olam's stempel was placed onto this idea. Hiskimo daito daisamakom is like a backwards way of saying it. Really, Hashem was masking to him, but probably it's a lashon kavod, right? That doesn't want to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hiskim imo. It says his das was masking to daisamakom. That being said, the lashon in the brisa, as it's quoted in Maseches Shabbos, I think is hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yado. So I don't know why they switched between those two. Pirish mena isha shiba haluchos vehosif yom echad. Okay, and then the Gemara goes through each of these takanos, gezeros, hanhagos, and gives us the my kra darish or my kavachomer darash, why Moshe Rabbeinu came up with these ideas and how Kadosh Baruch Hu agreed. Okay. L'chora, the pshat in these three instances, is that these are dinim daraisa, with all of the chamiras of dinim daraisa, because Moshe Rabbeinu came up with them. That's already, you know, a little bit of a question. You have that Bach, I think, in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, wherever it is, about Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, whether a takana Moshe Rabbeinu has a status of Darabanan, something higher, or even Daraisa. But L'chora here, Moshe Rabbeinu is misaking it. Whatever you want to do with that, he was Hiskim Daito L'das HaMakom. So the Ribono Shel Olam signed off on these takanos, these gzeros, these anhagos, so they seem they would be like Dinim Daraisa that Moshe Rabbeinu was mechavin to. And I guess we carry all the stringencies of the Raisa as well. The Shtikl Tzarech Iyun, then, you know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did agree to these things and did think these were proper on Hagos, to be Poresh Mena Isha, to break the Luchos, to add one day, Midaito, so then why didn't the Ribono Shel Olam explicate these commands? Meaning, why in these cases did the Ribono Shel Olam leave it open-ended and Moshe Rabbeinu had to be mechaven to it? It's true that he agreed afterwards, but if he agreed, then why didn't he say it in the first place? So that's a shtikla tzarachin. So I saw the Maharal talks about this a little bit. It's a part of a longer maharacha, but this part is just a short thing that we'll read together. And the Maharal is in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Chaf Zayin. So the Maharal quotes this Gemara. And then he says, so the Maharal says, "Devadai kol ma shehotziu chachamim min hakasvai de drasha shelahem." Anytime Chazal make a drasha, they learn a din from a drasha from the pasuk. Nikra called divrei chachamim v'daitam. It's always called divrei chachamim. Afshu nirmas b'Torah. Even though you'll find now a remez in the Torah, a drasha in the Torah, but it's still divrei chachamim. It's still derabanan. It's still divrei chachamim, not derabanan. It's min haTorah, but it's divrei chachamim. It's something from them min haTorah. That's what a drasha is. A drasha is Chazal understanding what the Torah wants from us. So it's divrei Torah that they were motzi from the Torah. Okay, fine. And he says, I'll explain that more elsewhere. Raki elu shlosha dvarim, they stand apart. They're different. These three takanos, gezeros, hanagos of Moshe Rabbeinu stand apart and are different. Why? Because hiskim and kadosh baruch hu in Moshe. So that, I think, sounds like what we were saying until now. Meaning, there's a concept of Chazal making drashas. Moshe Rabbeinu kind of makes drushes over here. Obviously, we'll see Tosfos in a second that it knocks off the drushes to some degree. But Moshe Rabbeinu is basically making drushes, coming up with dinim daraisa. So it sounds like every other case of a din daraisa that comes from a drusha. Elamai, of all the cases of dinim daraisa with drushes, these ones are Kadosh Baruch Hu's masking too. So apparently they were like an elevated level that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a dvar Torah min hadrusha and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking to it. And that was a higher level, yeah.
What does it mean for these things to be considered?
Which things? These yeah, meaning the Moshe Rabbeinu things.
In terms
of chamiras, in terms of like what they at the time when they were told over, when or in his case what he was mekayim. In the case of let's say Hosif Yom Echad, what Klal Yisrael had to listen to at the moment. It's a din daraisa. I mean, it has a level of daraisa to it.
Okay.
So that's what it would seem. These are, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking to them. So then the Maharal says, "V'hevdel gadol yesh bein davar zeh l'shar dvarim she'otziu chacham min ha-medrash." So what's like what at the end of the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masking? So what does that add? What does that mean? So he says, "Ki shar dvarim she'otziu chacham min ha-ksuvim nikru divrei chachamim v'lo shem midar abanan rak shem divrei Torah k'mo shar dvarim aval nikru b'shem sofrim." Right? We know from the Mishnah at towards the end of Masechah Sanhedrin by Zakan Mamre that there's a difference between divrei sofrim and divrei Torah. That divrei sofrim are also dinim daraisa, but they're darshaned. They're learned out from divrei. They're learned out by the sofrim, and they're called divrei sofrim. So they have a different quality. But these of Moshe Rabbeinu ve'elu shehiskim akadosh baruch hu al yedei Moshe ki ilu ksavim b'Torah. So whatever, it's a horas shah, obviously in two out of three cases, right? All three of the cases, but two of them are only shaykh to him. One of them is shaykh to Klai Yisrael, but all three of them are horas shah, correct? But at that moment they were divrei Torah, beguf haTorah, as opposed to being divrei Torah that are through divrei sofrim. He looks up the Torah, but who guf hamitzvah is lo shu perish b'vad. It's not just the perish on the psukim. Fine. So then, that's the Maharal understands the concept of these hiskim adaito l'dasa makom. Then the Maharal asks our question. Ve'al yikshe lecha im kein lamin alone and stav Moshe b'perish alzeh. So then, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu just tell Moshe to do these things? If these are not only divrei sofrim, but they're divrei Torah, miguf haTorah, they're from the ksav haTorah, so then write in the Torah or tell Moshe Rabbeinu explicitly. So the Maharal says, no, there's a difference. Kidaber zed lo kasha, it's not a problem. I'm telling you in advance that I'm not yored le omek hadvarim here, but just quoting for you. Ki hefresh yesh bein hadvarim shenitzdav emoshim pi Hashem yizbarach, ubein elu dvarim shehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yado. There is a qualitative difference between that which Moshe Rabbeinu is told to do or told to tell to do, and that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to Moshe Rabbeinu about. Ki shar dvarim him baim min Hashem yizbarach bekoch gezeira shenitzdav olav betzivoy. In every case of mitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer a mitzvah. He demands, he decrees that we have to do something. Aval elu dvarim lo bo mitzad ha-gzeira, these weren't commands or decrees of gzeiras by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rak shaya maskim lomar sheyafehu v'rayu lasos ve'in ze gzeira. So the end result is always going to be the same, right? Meaning you have to do it, and Hashem agrees that you have to do it. The question is, how was it given over? Is the pshat that, and they're all midoraisa. But is the pshat that it was given over that Hashem was gozer to do these things? Or is the pshat that you're doing something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees is the right thing to do? I'm not sure there is an afkamina. I don't have my Rabbi Hartman edition on me to check if he has other places where the Maharal spells out more. But it's a Mara Makom, Anilach, that he says there's a qualitative difference in the way it was given over. In Echnami, the result is the same. It's divrei Torah that are ksavim shel Torah, but they were given over one mitzad ha, nosein, that it's gzeira, and one mitzad ha makabel, that it's a davar yafeh to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's maskim to that. That, regardless of the last point in terms of answering the question, that I think would be the pashup shot in the Gemara, that there's a Moshe Rabbeinu who's mechave into a din d'oraisa over here. That's the simple idea. However, as you saw, it gets a little more complicated because Tosfos asks over here in every case, Moshe Rabbeinu brings drasha, kal chomer drasha. So, what do you mean daito? What do you mean it's Moshe's das? Not Moshe's das. It's a drasha like anything else. Which, to one degree, the Maharal did explain already that it was daito in the sense that it came from him as opposed to starting from the Torah. But what do you mean das? Aren't these just divrei Torah? So therefore, Tosfos go on this crusade over here on Samach Beis Amud Aleph, and they rip apart every drasha. So each drasha, they have a pircha, tzad pirchan. So if that's the case, if there's a pircha on every drasha, so then lichora, kushyas hagamara hadra l'duchta, that if there's no kal v'chomer and the gemara wants to know my darsh, so taka my darsh, meaning there are drashas, there aren't drashas. It's like this in-between area where you're not sure what you have over here. You have a das Moshe Rabbeinu with drashas, without drashas, with drashas, but they're all shlugged up. So what's going on over here? So there's an important paragraph, three paragraphs in the country's Divrei Sofrim of Bechanan. In the first simin in Sif, Os, Tes Zayin will start and go till I think Yud Ches together. So Bechanan learns this Gemara. He points out the Gemara's lines. He points out Tosis Kasha, that Tosis are Soser, each one of the Kalvachomers. And he says, V'kasha dim kain, hadra kushta Gemara l'duchta, my darsh, came in the MS in the Kalvachomer. If you don't have Kalvachomers, then what is the drasha taka the Gemara want to know? And we don't have one. So Bechanan answers like this, V'nira, and this is in Osiyad Zayin. V'nira, the hada hosif yom echad, enu alamidur abanan. So we said until now that the Pasha Pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Din D'Oraisa here that he was mechavin to. Okay, and there's a qualitative difference between mechavin to it and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer. Fine. The Rebbe Chanan says that's wrong. Rebbe Chanan says these are dinim derabanan. Moshe Rabbeinu was being gozer dinim derabanan. Misakin takanas derabanan here. Eino elami derabanan umen haTorah lo haisa mitzvas prisha rak shnei yamim. There was only a din d'oraisa to have 2 days of prisha. Vayoma gimel haya midarabanan. That third day was only midarabanan. Vikra o kal v'chom d'darshu rak esmachta. And the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was Doresh, or made a Kal V'chomer, those were all Asmachta Ba'alma, like we always have in the Gemara. Midarabanan huva Asmachta Ba'alma. Then, Rabbi Chanan says, Mikol Makom, Hiskima Daito L'das HaMakom. Mikol Makom, what happened was that when Moshe Rabbeinu said these Dim Darbanan, Kadosh Baruch said, good, you said good, that's a good Gzera, it's a good Takana, that's a good Hanaga, you should do that. V'chein hoya gam ratzan Hashem Yisbarach, ela shlo tzivohu al zeh betzivohu yimafurash. Because that Taka was the Ratzan Hashem, but he just didn't say it explicitly. Moshe Rabbeinu's dinim derabanan were the Ratzon Hashem. And if you read the Maimer here in the Kuntres Devar Sofrim, so you'll realize this is all part of a bigger Maracha, which he's about to summarize. Vim ken yesh lomar dehu adin b'chol ha-mitzvos v'isurin shel devrayim. Hiskima daitan l'das ha-makom. Meaning, what is so fascinating is that what Rav Chanan basically says is that this case of the Gemara in Yavam since Hanukkah Beis, the Gemara in Shabbos and Pei Zion, is not really that exceptional. Meaning every case of Dinim, this is Rav Chanan's Yesod, every case of Dinim Derabanan is the Chazal, Chachamim, recognizing, intuiting Ratzon Hashem, and sharing that with Klal Yisrael, and it really is just Ratzon Hashem that's not explicitly stated in the Psukim. They read between the lines. And Asmachta, you don't need to be the Ritva for this, even for the Rambam. And Asmachta is either a mnemonic to remember that, or it's the Remez type of embodiment of that Rasa Torah in the Kra. But Lamaisa, either way, it's not Mufurish B'Kra. And Chazal come and dig it up and say, oh, this must be the Ratzon Hashem. And every Derabanan is like that. And Rabbi Chanan lists, Shnios Larayos. He then quotes the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shabbos about Tiltul Muktzah, that Tiltul Muktzah, the Rambam attributes a pasuk that you're over be'esei de l'manya nuach. So Rabbi Chanan says, Avad, you're not over on l'manya nuach. Side note, maybe the Ramban would say you are, right? But Avad, you're not over on l'manya nuach. L'manya nuach is only, real daraisas. No, what he says is, Aval zeh kavanaso dezeu neged ratzon haTorah. After like azhara, mifuresh esal zeh uchanal. So Rav Chanan says the yesod of all dinim derabanan is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted this all along. He just didn't put it into the psukim. And Chazal or Chacham come along and say, oh, we understand, we figured it out, and tell you that. And they're mechavin to the das hamakom. But what's fascinating over here? What's the chiddush over here? Is that the muskel rishon is that something's different over here about Moshe Rabbeinu? That it's daraisa, that hiskim daito l'das hamakom. But Rav Chanan says explicitly, black on white, that no. Moshe Rabbeinu is just like, I don't know, what is this? It's not the first instance of Derabanan. We have Derabanan that even predate Matan Torah. But it's an early instance. It's a standout instance. It's an interesting case of Dinam Derabanan, but it's a regular case of Dinam Derabanan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskin. It's a fascinating thing. This Gemara is not really special or exceptional in that way. Okay, but then the original kasha that the Maharal said wasn't a kasha, you still have to ask, which is that, fine, so then why didn't the Ribono Shalom explicate these things? Okay, in our Gemara Nivamos, but now I guess you're asking a question on all dinim derabanan. So Rabbi Chanan answers that in the very next paragraph, Yud Ches. He says, he says something in the next paragraph which intimates an answer. Mehai taima anu chayavim lasos kedivrayim, shari anu mekayim b'zeh ratzon Hashem Yisbarach, shes gima daitan ledaito. All derabanans are always muskam by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umikol makom kevin shalabba le'en tziva mefurash b'torah, hin kalan midirei Torah mefurashin. So says Rabbi Chanan that the distinguishing factor between derabanans and daraisa, obviously, is that derabanans are always more kal. Where do they get their lighter nature from? So if you're the Rambam, usually you ask that question about Lo Sasser. Every din derabanan is din deraisa. Even for Rabbi Chanan, everything's Ratzon HaTorah, so it's all Torah. Answer, no. The fact that the Ribono Shel Olam didn't say it explicitly diminishes the severity of the command or of the mitzvah or of the iser. In two paragraphs later, in the same essay, so Rabbi Chanan says that he thinks this yesod is based in Chazal, where they say, we see Yafes Sichas Shel Avdei Avos even more than Gufei Torah. How do we know that? Because there's an Arichus by the Parsha of Eliezer, that there's an Arichas Dvarim that it tells a story two times, multiple times. So Rashi comments there, quoting Chazal, that the fact that the Torah is Marich shows that it's very important, even more important than certain Dinim Daraisa, which are said very quickly in one breath and half a sentence. So Rabbi Chanan says, you see there that the Klal in the Torah is that the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu spells something out, the more Chamer, the more serious, the more important it is, the less it's spelled out, the more Bekitzer it is, it shows a level of less chamiris to that, and therefore he says that's a source for what he's saying, that their abundance are more kal, because even though they're also Ratzon HaTorah, the fact that they weren't explicated and spelled out at length shows that they're really less chamer than the Raisas. Okay, this Gemara is just it's interesting. It just ends up being a Gemara that's an example of their abundance. Yeah, Tosis asks Kasha, Vim Tomra Minolan Shepirish Midaito, meaning Mech Tesi that he actually was Parish Midaito, Hare, the Pasuk says, go back lo aleichem, and he's atapo amodi madi. So he's told to stay. So it's not. How do you know he did it on his own? Like, where did Chazal realize that he did it on his own? Maybe he was told to stay, and he was just listening to the tasa makom. V'yeshlomar the ilav the pirish midaito lama kasu alav Aaron and Miriam. So the Tais say because we know Aaron and Miriam were upset about this. They get in trouble for being upset, but they were upset about it, and well, they wouldn't have been upset if Moshe Rabbeinu kept the Torah. They didn't get upset when he ate kosher, so why would they get upset that he was Parish Manisha? So obviously he did it on his own, and then he made the Kal V'Chomer on his own, and then he was Parish Manisha either by making her own tent or by giving her get, and that's why they were upset at her. So okay, why did they wait so long to express their being upset? Maybe they didn't know about it until much later on. Tosfos say fine toward the end of Tosfos Vim Tomar. Okay, fine. So they were upset at him. You could hear why they were upset at him if he did it on his own. But Lamaisa, we do know by that point, for sure, we know, by the time they were angry, we do know that the Ron Shalom agreed, because Ata Po Amodi Madi happened, right? That statement did happen at some point. So how are they still upset at him? That's a good Takashla. Meaning, how are they upset even after Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Daito? Even after HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed Moshe Rabbeinu, they're still upset. So what grounds do they have to be upset at him? He's listening to the Ron Shalom. So Tais say, interesting answer. V'yishlomer mishum damrinan derech shadam rotsa leilech molichan oso. So habal time is ayin oso derech shadam rotsa leilech molichan oso. So they figured it's true that Hakadosh Baruch Hu was maskim. It's true that Hakadosh Baruch Hu said that you should be parish men isha, that he's right, but that's only because that's what he wanted to do. And there's a skula and inyan whatever that when a person pushes himself in a certain direction, l'tav l'mutav, when a person pushes himself in a certain direction, he gets a siyata d'shmaya or whatever you want to call, you know, the opposite, he gets a helping hand to go whichever way he's going. So they just figured Moshe Rabbeinu had the initiative over here. It was his idea to be Horshman Isha. HaKadosh Baruch was masking al yado, fine, but he wouldn't have been masking al yado if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take the first step. So they were upset about that. They had the anger at him over that. Okay, but then why are they wrong? Meaning, Tosfos don't answer, meaning so now there's a taina. So he's the one who got jump started this whole process. He's the one who wanted to be Parshman at Isha. Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu was Bederach Shadam Rotsa Loilech Malichan Oso, but it's still his fault. It was still his initiative. He's the one who decided this was a good idea, and Kadosh Baruch Hu just gave the shtempel because that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does. Yeah, so Taka, that's a good taina. So what do you say back? So Lechora, I don't know, not such a chiddush, just like Lechora, this is the Pashup Shad over here, that this is the Yesod. This is the, I think Rav Sobolovsky referenced it in his Parsha Chabur, I think, last week, 2 weeks ago. There's no such thing as Moshe Rabbeinu having a feeling or a thought or a svara that isn't Torah. You can't have a machlokas in Moshe Rabbeinu. And what you see here is that even the ratzon, like that the drive and the feeling that there's a desire that he should separate from Isha over here, that's not stam emotions, and therefore the Ron Shalom helps him. That's a chilek of Torah also. That was a din. When Moshe Rabbeinu felt that way, that he wanted to, that he thought it was correct to separate Mena Isha, that became a din daraisa, whatever, that became a chilek of Torah. That became Torah's Moshe. And you can't, it's not, the same way it's not shayach for whatever, with the Balei Tosfos to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu about how to tie your tefillin, the same way it's not shayach to have any machlokas between Moshe Rabbeinu and anyone else, so too Aaron Miriam can't say that, what do you mean? He decided that he wanted to be Parish Mena Isha because of the Shechina, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu just listened, but Derech Shadam Rotsa Leilech. Yeah, but when Moshe Rabbeinu is Rotsa Leilech on Derech, that becomes a Chilek of Torah. He was just correct. It's Torah's Moshe from that very moment. And that's L'chorah the Musa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them, V'chol Beisi Nemanhu. It's not only in terms of Nevuah, this is probably true regardless, and you see this in the Rambam also, the connection, and the Ramban, the connection between the Nevuah and the level of Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had. So, B'chol Beis Neman, who means that in every every area, in every respect, he's steadfast. He's always with me. Everything he thinks, everything he does, everything he desires is a chilek Torah. It's part of my bias, and that was the mistake that that was part of the mistake that Aaron and Miriam made. So lechora, that's the pushback to their taina that Tosas don't spell out over here.
The pushback wouldn't be that they just got the pshat wrong and what Hakadosh Baruch Hu's rotzon was. I mean, it wasn't b'derech she'adam rotzon melichon was.
What was it?
Hashem's response to Aaron and Miriam was no, like asking them. I'm asked. I would have said this anyway. Just one Moshe Rabbeinu to be mechadish. I mean, they thought the pshat was Hakadosh Baruch Hu was masking because b'derech adam rotzon melichon, so they got mad at him. No, the pshat was that no, Hashem was masking even without that. Hashem was masking to Moshe Rabbeinu. They got pshat Hashem and Rotzon Hakadosh Baruch Hu wrong.
Maybe.
Right.
Like maybe. I mean, again, I can't say Tosas imply what I said either, right? I don't know, but Tosas don't give you what their pushback was, but maybe the answer was in Achanami that they misapplied the klal. The advantage of the Psham saying is that they were, you know, everyone's more correct, you know.
Right.
Machlokas is smaller in that way, but yeah, maybe what you said. Also, just, I mean, now I'm just trying to be defensive, but also just the way Tosas write it, Mishum Dam Rina, not Mishum this that they thought. Meaning, this is the Yesod in Chazal, is B'derech Shadim Rotzo Leilech Molichon Oso. No one's debating that. That is true. Tosas aren't saying, and they misapplied that. Tosas aren't saying they even applied that. They're just saying, look, that's the klal. So the Chorah, that is true. Elamai, they were correct about that, but that's also Torah. But again, that was a defensive reaction, I didn't have that idea in before. Okay. The Gemara here tells us, we talked about yesterday, and this is just something we're reviewing, Ma'amakomas here, that we all probably already are familiar with, but it's good just to spell them out. This way Zach Steiner can write them up for us. The Gemara tells us, Itmar ha'ilo banim v'yoso ovi kachavim in his gayer. So if a person had, you're not typing. If a person had had children when he was a nakum, so and then he converts, Rabbi Yochanan Amar kim peri v'yivya, Reish Lagash Amar lo kim peri v'yivya. Fine. Rabbi Yochanan Amar kim peri v'yivya da ha'avale, Reish Lagash Amar lo kim peri v'yivya, Geishin his gayer katan shenada dami. We should really have a shir on that at some point in the kola, I think, on Geishin his gayer katan shenada dami. See if anyone could do it. Okay, the Rambam paskins this Rabbi Yochanan Lalacha. We referenced it for a second yesterday, right when we mentioned briefly the Minchas Chinuch. Hayulo ban tesvav vav in the Rambam Nishas. Hayulo banim begeyusov in his gayer hu vehem harizek kiyem mitzvah zo. So if someone was a guy and he had children and then megayer, so he was mekayem the mitzvah peruvu. And obviously, the Rambam added two words over here that are important. It says "vinis gayer" in the Gemara. The Achronim point out that it's really meduyak in this line of the Gemara, and also in the next comparisons in the Gemara, that it means that only he was megayer and not his children. But the Rambam seems to have taken it as "hu v'him." He, along with his children, they both converted. So there was, I think there is one approach, maybe is the Vilna Gaon on Shulchan Aruch, I forget now, I think that maybe the Vilna Gaon, someone on Shulchan Aruch took the approach that the Rambam is actually teaching you a chiddush, that even though hu v'heim, anyone saw this? Even though hu v'heim converted, and therefore it's like a double separation, Gershon's guy, Shnol Adami, and now there's no yichus between the father and the son at all, because they both converted, they both became Jewish, now they have no shaychus to each other, even so, you're still Makayim. I think the implication, again, I don't remember it inside so clearly, but if it was the Vilna Gaon, maybe the implication is that then the Rambam is maskim, if not, right? The implication is the Chiddush, that even if hu v'heim, there's still Mesiaches in terms of the Mitzvah Peruvu. But if not hu v'heim, of course the Rambam agrees that you're Mekayim. Anyone saw that? Someone on the page.
The
yeah, but so why is it's worse, though? If the father, let's say the father is Megayer, he's Kikat and Shnoladam, but there's still Miyuchas Acharav. There's still Miyuchas and Acharav. Masha'in Kain, if they're Megayer, then they from Miti Dam are also Gershon is Gaya Kangat Nishinol Adami. And therefore, what? They're not Messiahis after? If it's a Messias, it's a Messias. Yeah, I have to look how I said it. Right, but I'm saying, but that's what we have. They are Miuchas Acharav, they were Miuchas Acharav, and therefore, but Messias, they're still his. That's how you would assume. Why would that change if they converted? We have to look at how he said it. I don't know. We have to look at how he said it. What's worse if you have a double Gersh and his guy or Katan Shinola?
It's like they died.
But I'm saying, it probably was the Vilna Gaon I saw. It's quoting from Shulchan Aruch, right? It's not.
Yeah.
But why is that? I mean, do you understand that? Why is that more than when he?
Because maybe it's a din in him. He still brought in those kids into the world.
Okay. It's kemesu le'inyan him, meaning it's kemesu le'inyan peruvu.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not the way I said it. Meaning it's not that it's not because of a double gersha and this guy comes no adam. It's because when they convert, there's a separate issue that now they're like dead to him.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Now either way, that comes out that what the Rambam is saying is, if we're understanding correctly, is it's a chiddush that even though they converted, he could still be mekayim peruvu. Yeah. And then it would come out that the Rambam would assume that even if they didn't convert, you'd say the mitzvah, or I guess especially if they didn't convert, you'd be yotzei the mitzvah. That's a chiddush in the Rambam. I don't think the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. It doesn't sound like that, right? We have this. What is it? Who's the Ma'aril or something says differently, but most of the poskim assume this way. Okay, so what the Magid Mishnah on the side of the page here is very important because he uses the word Yisraelim. And because he says that what's the Ram getting at over here? Why is this what's Huvahim? Where did he come up with that? So he says Pashit. He just doesn't even give a source for it. It's Pashit that in order to be Mekayim Mitzvah Peruvu, it has to be that they are Banim Yisraelim, that they're Jewish children. If you have Goyish children, you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah of Peruvu. So he wasn't Mevayer, you know, where this came from. He didn't give you a source for why that is. So Taka, why is that true? If the whole Vart in Peruvu is a Metzias of Peruvu Mulua. Mikovish Esaretz. So then, whatever. Why does it have to be a Jewish child? Why can't it be a non-Jewish child? So, if I heard it, probably everyone here heard it. But it's again, it's worth it for the Mar Makomos, for the Chazar of Shechter Shlita has a mahalach about this, based on some things from the Rav and also some other Mar Makomos that he put together, which explains what's going on over here. He says, "Anachanami, it's true." When Puruvu was first commanded initially in the first stages of the world, so the mitzvah was just to dominate the world, just to create people so that the world would be inhabited, l'kayim es hamin, l'olam. And that's why Bnei Noach also were mitzuvim in Puruvu initially, because that was the key, that was the mitzvah, was to populate the world. So everyone has to populate the world, regardless of who you are. La'achar matan Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah Puruvu only to the Jewish people, so at that point, the mitzvah had a change. When the Torah said, you know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shuv lachem la'alechem, that you should go back to your tents, you should go back to being misasig in Puruvu, so it wasn't saying go back to the old mitzvah. It was saying Shuvah Lachem La'Aleichem with the Torah that I just gave you. With the Matan Torah that I just gave you, you should go back to your tents. It's a new mitzvah of Peruvu, yeah?
The Shuvah Lachem La'Aleichem, the Gemara is Docha as being a Tzibah in Peruvu, as it's Nemra V'lo Nishnis. So it's really the same pasuk that ends up being the source. And Shuvah Lachem
That's fine, but the Shuvah Lachem La'Aleichem is the point at which they're back to Peruvu. Even if you, it's
even
not...
Even if it's not yeah, but, to be a Nemra V'Nishnis.
I think so.
It's to me, Day is still in the Gemara there. Yibay Seima.
Again, but my use of the word Shuv Lachem La'alechem just now was not, the point was not that it's the makar for Peruvu. My point was just that when they're told to go back to the mitzvah of Peruvu, they're being told to go back to a different mitzvah of Peruvu. Then it's also a question of what the source for the mitzvah of Peruvu is after. There's multiple psukim, and the Rishonim quote different ones, and the Sefer Mitzvahs also, they quote different ones for the source. But I was only using it like B'toras, meaning at that point, at that juncture, they're told to go back to their tents to a different mitzvah of Peruvu, not to the same mitzvah from before. What's the new mitzvah? So the new mitzvah apparently is not that you have to go back and populate the world and inhabit the whole world, but rather now you have to populate the world with Jewish people. And the point is that the mitzvah Peruvu becomes not conquering the world with people, but being mamshech the masorah. That the Torah, which you were just given, and the masorah, which you now have, you have to make sure that gets passed on to the next generation by being mekayim Peruvu. It still has the same, you know, idea of lekayim zamin. Still, it's now for sure zachar nekeva. But that's because we have to mekayim the min of the Jewish people who have a masorah, who have the Torah, and you have to pass that on for all generations. He has a very just some you know interesting ma'amar makomos. He has a very, very interesting Rashash and Ksubis. Again, probably everyone or a lot of you are familiar with it. The Mishnah in Maseches Avos tells us that. So first of all, the Sugis and Kiddushin tell us that a person is supposed to learn Torah first and then get married. First, you're supposed to get involved in learning, and then you're supposed to get married after that. On top of that, yeah. On top of that, so the. Gemaras seem to have a stira, like a stira sasugios, as to when that marriage is supposed to take place. The Mishnah on Maseches Avos tells us, in the fifth parak, right, that ben yudches ben shmonasei lechupa, that when a person is 18 years old, they should get married. However, when you look at the Gemara in Kiddushin on Chav Tes, the Gemara says that until a person is 20 years old, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is sitting and waiting for him with children, and once he reaches 20, if he doesn't have children, I forget, like tipeach atzmo or something, atmosav, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says he should, you know, rat. It's such a terrible thing. So the Rashash points out, this looks like a stira, that the Mishnah in Avos sounds like a person's supposed to get married at 18. The Mishnah, the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin, quoting whatever it is there, a Braisa, I don't know, is saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not kohes on a person not having kids until 20. So which one is it? To get married at 18 or get married at 20? Which one is it supposed to be? So it seems like a stira. So the simple pshat, so either it's machlok zizugios, or the simple pshat is, I think the Rav Shechter quotes this also, is that, no, at 18 you start dating, and by 20 you should get married. It's a pretty modern amount of time to date, but okay, so it allows time for all different types of picky people. So 2 years, over the course of 2 years, you get married over 2 years. So 18 to 20, not 18 versus 20, but 18 to 20. So the Rashash in Ksubas Handaf Nun says a different pshat, a very creative pshat. He says the Gemara in Chulin on Chav Dalet, Rashi quotes it in Chumash. The Gemara says that there's machlokas tanayim when it comes to the avodas halevim. It's based on two psukim. Some psukim sound like the levim start working at age 30, and some psukim sound like the levim start working at age 25. So Rashi quotes. I'll read it for you. The Rashi here. Mi ben chamish ve'esrim, 25. Uvamakum acher omer, earlier in Sefer Bamidbar, mi ben shloshim shana, 25 and 30. Haketzad, mi ben chafhei, bal lil mot hilchus avoda, v'lo min chamish shanim, uben shloshim oved. So you start at 25, you learn in the Levium Kola, to learn how to be a Levi. And then by the time you're 30, you're able to work and do the avoda. So 25 to 30, it takes 5 years to learn the avoda. Says Chazal, mikan letalmich l'ra sim yafe b'mishnasu chamish shanim, sheshuv eino roe. From here you see that if a person learns Torah and doesn't have atzlacha over 5 years, they should pack it up. They should hang up their cleats and give up, because they're not going to be matzliach. It takes 5 years to be matzliach and a learning like the Levium in Torah as well. And so it's a five year process. The Gemara there quotes a second opinion, which assumes, based on Pesukim and Daniel, that it's not 5 years, but it's 3 years. So it's machlokes in the Gemara whether it takes 3 years or 5 years to master learning to the point where a person can get married. If you don't feel like you've mastered learning yet, so I think Rav Shechter points out that doesn't mean it takes 5 years. It means it takes 5 years of doing the exact same thing every day, all day. If you move to across the country or something in between, so the clock starts again. And you know, if you changed charusas, you changed rebbeim, there's different factors that happen. So it could take a little longer. But 5 years or 3 years is the machlokas in the Gemara, the machlokas in the Tanaim over here. So the Rashash says a fascinating thing. He says, these two deos, whether marriage should take place at 18, whether marriage should take place at 20, are talui in these two opinions when it comes to how long it takes to master learning. You definitely have to learn Torah before you get married. However, a person starts learning Gemara at age 15. That's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says. So at age 15, you start the clock. Okay, start the clock. Now, if it takes 3 years to learn, when should I get married? Age 18, I'll be done with my learning. Age 18, that's the first opinion in the Mishnah in Maseches Avos. However, if you hold up the other opinion that takes 5 years to really master learning, then you start the clock at 15 the same way when you start learning Gemara. It takes 5 years. So at age 20, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects that a person's going to get married. That's the machlokas, the way that the Rashash explains it. Either way, what all of these are basing themselves on is the fact that what's the shaychus? Meaning, why does a person have to learn Torah first and then get married? What does one have to do the other? So obviously, the answer is it's hard to get a good shidduch unless you know how to learn. So that's one answer. I think that Shaul Stamfer quotes in his someone will cut this from the record, right? I'm quoting this is the wrong chabur for this, but Shaul Stamfer writes in his Lithuanian yeshivas books that. That they used to say that in Velazhen, they learned Torah Lishma. And the Vartan Lishma is L'shem Isha. They learned Torah L'shem Isha, that they should find a good Shidduch. So Avada, you have to Chayiv Adam Lomo Torah of Achach Lisa Isha in order to get a good Shidduch. But additionally, another Pshat, the Rav Shechter says, is that no, the whole Kiyam of Mitzvahs Peruvu through the Nisuin is only if a person passes on the Torah to the next generation. If a person hasn't learned, if they're not sufficiently well-versed in the Torah, then they can't be properly mekayim in the midst of Peruvu because they don't have a Torah to pass over to the next generation. That's why Rav Shechter quotes from the Rav in Nefesh HaRav. That's why the Rambam writes in our Halachos Tesvav Gimel. It's based on our Gemara and Tamach Gimel and Yibamas that Misha Chashka Nafsho Batora, like Ben Azai, who was so obsessed with learning that he didn't get married, in Biyada Avon. He's not so bad. He didn't do an Aver. He wasn't Mevatel the Mitzvah of Puruvu. So the Rav, in what might have been the first Don't Need Already Have, said it's not that it's not that he, don't worry, he didn't violate Puruvu. It's that he has the Mitzvah of Puruvu. B'mitzas, meaning it's not a full Mitzvah of Puruvu. He doesn't have real children, but Banim Eilu Talmidecha. That when a person is really involved in learning and teaching, lamad vilime lachirim, there's a kia mitzas of mitzas puruvu, and Ben Azai had that. So if a person is so chashka nafsha b'torah that he's going to be involved in harbat satorah, there's a shtickle kiyam in mitzas puruvu. Rav Shechter tells too the famous Rav Shlomo Kluger about adoption, and what he quotes from the Chafetz Chaim, that if a person supports yeshivas, it's a shtickle kiyam in puruvu. All of these things are interesting, you know, back smuchim alma, but Rav Shechter quotes those in this context, that again, the mitzvah of Puruvu involves passing Torah to the next generation. If a person can't be makayim that, in the biological sense, there is another track as well through Talmidim. Like the Rashi in the beginning of Sefer, of Parshas Bamidbar, that Aaron's children are attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu as if they were his children because he taught them Torah. With that, Rav Shechter also gives the pshat in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud. The Gemara says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was punished for being mevatel mitzvos puruvu. So Yeshaya comes and knocks him over the head for not being involved in having offspring. So the Gemara tells us that Chizkiyahu saw benevuah that his children were going to worship Avodah Zarah. So he thought to himself that it was better not to have children. And Yeshaya's response is, "B'hadi kavshi derechman lamalach. What are you getting involved in these upper worlds of nevuah? None of your business. You got to do the mitzvahs that are incumbent upon you." So what Rav Shechter explains is that they're both right. Chizkiyahu was correct. He saw banim who were going to go off the derech, and because of that, it's not worth having children. The mitzvah, not because it's so sad, not because it's not going to have nachas. No, because it's not puruvu. Puruvu is only when the children are on the derech and continue the masorah. If he loses that, then he hasn't had the full mitzvah of puruvu. So Yeshaya Navi says, no, you're right. That's true. That's the Hagdar of Mitzvahs Puruvu. And therefore, if that were true, then a person wouldn't necessarily be fully Mekayim. However, and you could fill in the blanks over here, what the however is, either you didn't see the full Nevuah because Menashe is going to do tshuva, or Nefesh HaChaim Dik from last year, that you can't decide how to be Mekayim Mitzvahs based on their tamim, their the reasons of the mitzvahs, like they did in Avos times, but not in our times, or because like a Lo B'Shamayim situation. You can't use your Nevuah to pass in a Shaila, but regardless of what the pushback is, they agree on the Yesod, which is that Puruvu is a key of being Mamshech, the Masor HaTorah, and he felt like he wouldn't have that if he had children who went off the Derech. So with that Yesod, so Rav Shechter explains our Rambam as well, that the Rambam tells us that Rabbi Yochanan's din, that Hayu Labanim Big Yuso, and Nizgairu, and Nizgair means Nizgairu Hu Vehem, that he and them all converted. So we said, why? So the Magen Mishnah said, because you need Bani Yisrael, you need Jewish kids. Where'd that come from? So the answer is, it comes from this Yesod. The Mitzvah of Puruvu is not what you thought. The Mitzvah of Puruvu is not that there should be more people running around the world, that there should be a bigger population on earth, but rather the Mitzvah of Puruvu is to continue the Masoras HaTorah, to continue the Jewish people's line, and a person can only do that if he has Jewish kids, if he has Gaiish grandkids, so then he doesn't have a line. He doesn't have a line following him of the Mitzvah of Puruvu of post-Matan Torah. I think the post can talk about whether if a person has children when he's a guy, he converts. They don't convert, and then the grandchildren convert if he's Mekayim Puruvu. It's maybe related, maybe not related. Maybe it's a new line, so you can't plug it into. Maybe you can, but it's an interesting discussion also in the post game whether you need that directly his descendants convert, or that even the next generation could convert. Okay. Just a quick Dvar Torah, some sefer Dikat Dvar Torah from a grandchild. So we spoke before about Hiskima Daito L'das HaMakom. So I mentioned to you that it's found in Avos Rabbi Nasan. So I was looking for someone who would talk about the things we were talking about, like this Rav Chanan and the Maharal. I didn't find, but I have a sefer at home of Rav Nasan Gestetner's Ha'aros on Avos Rabbi Nasan. So I saw a good Dvar Torah there. So to share it briefly, the psukim tell us that Latzadaber Miriam va'Aaron va'Moshe, they spoke out against him about him. Odos Haisha Hakushis Asher Lakach, that he took this Isha Kushis, that he married her, Ki Isha Kushis Lakach, because he married an Isha Kushis. So, so Chazal understand for us there. I think Rashi quotes it that here they were talking Lashon Hara. Maybe it was even a shtickel kfira in the abilities of Moshe Rabbeinu as a Navi, the level of Moshe Rabbeinu as a Navi, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Pirish Min Aisha because he was Medaber Meshchina, as Rashi explains. So when it comes to our Brisa, so Reb Nassim Gestetner notes that there's a, I think, relatively famous tshuva, the Chassam Sefer, that an isha, a woman who's married to a Talmud Chacham, you know this from like Hilchos Nida, a woman who's married to a Talmud Chacham, they have to expect that he might be machmir on Maros, Shehor Bo Chacham, he might be machmir more than someone who's, if she's married to a Balabas, that he might be machmir on things that that a Mora Hara would have been makel on, and she has to accept that. It's mafkia her shibud on Ona because she decided to get into that when she married a Talmud Chacham. That was her choice to marry a Talmud Chacham. So he asked, why isn't that true here too? I mean, Tzipora knew she was what she was getting into. She's marrying Moshe Rabbeinu. So if he decides that he's going to be Parish Manaisha, that's what she signed up for. What she's supposed to, she doesn't have a taina really. It's not really, this was part of the deal. She was marrying the one and only, the Bechir. So Reb Nassim Gestetner says no, because really, when she married Moshe Rabbeinu, there was like he wasn't yet the Mekabel Torah. He wasn't yet, I think we spoke about this a while back, you know, he didn't even yet have his fullest level of Nevuah necessarily, and that might have peaked at the Matan Torah. So she didn't marry a Moshe Rabbeinu that we're familiar with. She married a Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, he's definitely pushed on a bet, but he was somewhere before being Moshe Rabbeinu the way we think of him in the Rambam and Hilchos Yisod Torah. So she didn't sign up for that. If a person marries Talmud Chacham and he's Machmir and things, that's what you signed up for. But Tzipora Be'emes, she didn't sign up for that. So he says, that's the Pshat in the Psukim. And he says, Mefarshim struggle with this. Why the Psukim say that they spoke out against Moshe Rabbeinu? They should say they spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu about the fact that he separated from his wife. They don't say that. The Psukim say that they spoke out against Moshe Rabbeinu. Odos Ha'isha Kushis Asher Lakach. And the Torah continues, Ki Isha Kushis Lakach, like as if they're stressing the fact that he married an Isha Kushis. So Reb Nassim Gestetner says, and he says he found Ke'enze in the Teres Moshe of the Chassam Sefer. So he says that that's what's going on over here, is that the Psukim are saying that that Aaron and Miriam, rather, were arguing on Moshe, not Moshe as you are now. It makes sense to be Purish Man Isha, but that's not what she signed up for. She was an Isha Kushis that you were Lokayach. When you got married, you know, we remember you without a beard. When you got married, it wasn't the same level. It was an Isha Kushis Asher Lakach, and they stress that. And they say she didn't sign up for such a thing, so it's not appropriate to separate. She didn't sign up for that. It's not mafkiyah her shibud on Ona, and you're doing the wrong thing. Okay, they're proven wrong, but that's what the Pesukim are expressing, that they were saying, we understand it now, but that's not who she married. She didn't sign up for that, and that's why the Pesukim are stressing the Isha Kushis Asher Lakach. Okay, stop here. And we'll do Ra.